does. I mean, just coming out of the shower bath, I got kind of woolly. Figured I'd go and just get wet. They're there right now.
Yeah.
They have an appointment with Glanzer and Silver.
I thought it was useful to talk to Dick Moore.
Oh, good.
So we'll see what the hell he recalls.
Yeah. Good. Because I haven't talked to them or a piece of paper in there.
Take the whole pen.
I haven't really talked to them.
No. Well, I think it's important to know since they've been calling,
right?
So important. What I don't see called. He recalled the McCusker meeting.
Mm-hmm. I hope he recalls it better than I do.
Of his recollection. Says Dean at that said, by the way, the defendants need money and insurance. I told him, you can see what your memory is back on this. Mr. Bob or John says, can't LaRue go on the ground and raise it? He's facetious because he remembers it. John says, can't Mitchell read from Rockefeller if you give him $500,000. The recollection from the council meeting. That, of course, is did you recall too, as I said?
Well, I don't recall the Rockefeller.
Well, the Rockefeller, but you won't recall that either.
No, but I mean, I just literally don't. In fact, yeah. That
was a discussion with LaRue, perhaps you do it around and so forth. But you're aware of the fact that LaRue and Richard. Dick is one guy in the program, what I think. But,
I'll tell you what that.
Yeah. Well, I'd like you to be aware.
Yeah, that's important. That's important.
See what
is it? Does he talk at all about the purpose of that meeting? Because I think that's also important.
Oh, yes. He said for 2 days he talked about the hearings, programming the hearings, and it's a privilege. And getting a statement, wrote down a statement.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Three sentences out of 2 days. But this one, this is a sign. And the reason I raised it up, did I raise him? I said, no, what the hell is he? What could he talk about? And I said, well, maybe this is what he the person in here, I suppose, in here too, who also got this certain symbology, the time box or something like that, and that was, or came to you, had it all in the raise money for the defendants, right?
Question about that.
Is LaCosta after the trial?
LaCosta is just, that's that rainy weekend in February.
When is it leaving?
This year. Yeah. February the 20th or something.
Yeah. But this is after, before sentencing.
So they have sentenced him, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Now, Dean. The other thing is, Moore recollected something about this conversation too. He says that Dean told him that he needed money before he got sentenced. He also told Dean, look, this is blackmail. So that's how that came in. So when Dean came in to see me and raised the subject, I very greedy to see the client was blackmail and see my client. He was pretty much bothered. Bob, Dean, and Mitchell, right? And Bob's office where they said Dean asked him about that money, or Mitchell asked
him. Meeting in Holland's office where, almost in an aside,
yeah.
Dean said to Mitchell, what about that other matter?
Yeah.
And Mitchell said it's taken care of.
Yeah.
And
I assume what happened here on that is that Dean, I'm getting money here. Call Mitchell.
Evidently.
Dean, of course, which I've already reported to you, is that he didn't think it was that's the whole thing. That's the only thing you've got, John.
Okay.
Those things have come into it. And if it comes to a question of Dean.
Sorry, I'm very, 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 very. Yes, how did you leave it with him?
Did you, I'm not talking to him.
Oh, you are, okay. Well, I, if I could suggest a point of view on La Costa.
Yep.
It is that our inability to do what you asked us to do at La Costa, which was to draft a public statement that could be put out on this subject, led in quick succession to your long talks. See, he reported back to you that it was a fruitless weekend.
That's right.
And
in fact, he didn't even bring another seating.
That's right. And it was a fruitless weekend. Dean kept saying, you can't say that, and so forth. And that led to your talks with Dean. And that led to Dean going to Camp David.
Right.
And then that eventually led to cracking.
That's right.
So it all started in the fact that the four of us could not put together.
But even this, let me say that this conversation about this money and so forth, that you've got to point out, is this was it. But that's one of the things that led us to conclude that we had to move off this, that they were, money. There isn't any question, I suppose, that in the way the whole thing is presented, are you off, possibly. Knowledge of, at least knowledge, certain knowledge of that. In Bob's case, in the case of the 350 participation in the 352, in the defendants. Mr. Judge, sorry about that, but Bob had gone again to the work in the law.
Well, here's where we left it with. We felt that if you're agreeable, the best way to do this would be for them to go over there, talk to the prosecutors, come back, report to us, and then if you are available, for you to talk to Mr. Wilson confidentially alone. He very much has your interest at heart.
Right.
And he's trying to approach this from your standpoint, rather than from ours, really. And you see that.
Yeah.
So Bob and I agreed privately.
Right.
But that would be a very desirable thing from your standpoint to have his counsel.
In other words, he's giving it.
He has
somebody
40 years of experience in this business.
He's for us.
He's totally loyal. Just totally, in fact, avidly loyal.
Right.
And so rather than to have the two of us strain what he thinks.
Let me tell you this. When is he going to see that?
He's there right now. He expects to be here by 6 o'clock.
Could he see you tonight?
Yes, sir. He'll come back. See you tonight if you'd like to see that. You get back in the boat.
Thank you.
He'll come back and then he could be available to you. You wouldn't know what to do. The younger of the two is a very steady frown with a lot of experience.
They're both talking to these people here.
Yes, sir. They both know them.
You get back, and I hope you've discussed this, and I will discuss it with you, you get back with Dean, whatever we can around here. There's some more, too. I know it sounds unbelievable, but I'm just wondering about this.
I'll tell you about that.
They don't believe it.
They say it's a dream world, that they just can't be.
I don't believe it.
But, no, do. I think you ought to hear their view, if it's appropriate. Their whole...
Dean's going to do his dance anyway.
They think that he has every incentive to, and that there's no way to remove that incentive.
Right.
That's their feeling.
So if he goes to jail, he's got a little less incentive to kick president.
I think that would be the argument.
Can anybody arrest him to keep him property or kick him?
Unless they term something different down there. Now, they say... They know Glanzer extremely well.
Yeah.
They know Silver well. Right. And they know their boss. And
so they'll find out.
So they'll find out, I think, quite a lot.
If Peterson has any indication of cars,
now they do not have a high opinion of him professionally.
But I have to tell you, if he's any indication of plans or
silver.
So send that to the outbox, please. There's a girl, she knows. Yeah, I know, but I meant that. You gotta remember that Peterson, if this reflects the U.S. Attorney, came in with findings, said that he, came on with the resignation. There, he was calling, so we're not gonna be panicked by it.
That's right.
Six, you're gonna talk to the person.
If that was the idea, yes. It would be there at 4:30, so it's an hour already.
Possibly you are right, perhaps that's a potential full ride.
They'll probably wanna go on, back to their office, because we haven't soaked them all day today here. But I'll arrange for them to come back and see you privately.
You had told them about the LaCosta, did you recall that that's a bad thing, the money had come up with LaCosta at all?
I hadn't,
That's a new element.
I had touched on it, no, what I told them was, the various times and intervals, and I couldn't, it's a matter of, I didn't have a present recollection, I still, you know, I don't have a recollection of it.
Very time interval.
But that this subject came up in Dean's conversation.
Thank you.
And that, he would ask me for advice, he would ask me, what to do, and it almost invariably, I had no response for it. I was helpless in that situation. The one time that I did respond was when he specifically asked if they could use Compline.
Yep.
And that's the only time. I've never been able to, other than the Bittman thing where I said, hell no.
Yeah.
I've just never been able to help him. And so it doesn't surprise me if I said, get somebody else to help you.
Yeah. Why doesn't the root help? So what do you
Or Rockefeller or Mitchell or that doesn't nonplus me.
I go to Brown's first, that was, I don't want Morris to talk about that.
John was getting increasingly desperate as time went on.
Dean, yeah, trying to keep a living.
Trying to keep a living.
Which is his job.
And I never could help him.
What did I say that about that again? No, he said that about that being obstruction. So that is not his opinion.
That's right.
He knows that, maybe.
He said that the circumstances will be difficult to explain.
Yeah.
No question about that. But he said a great deal rests upon whether Bob intended, believed, desired, or desired, that the funds be used for a specific purpose when he sent it back over there.
I'm feeding now on the bottom of the conversation.
Oh, they just thought that was silly. I went through this whole business, the deep sex and the guy leaving the country and the Kalmbach episode and all that. And they said, well, when do we get to the crimes? And I said, you just heard me. I said, well, there's nothing there. It's ridiculous.
They don't consider that as being part of the conspiracy.
No,
you were asked.
They do not.
Why? No, you didn't do anything.
But they didn't do anything. And they said, well, why was Kalmbach subservient to you? And I explained that. And they said, well, that all fits together. And they just didn't have any trouble with it. Now, they may get an earful over there this afternoon. It's a prosecutor's job.
Sure.
Give them an earful. And so they may have something when they get back. I've suspected all along that we were being alone, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
And that Dean had unloaded a good deal more than that. And so I'm going to be interested to see when they come back.
To the extent the prosecutor will tell him, if you said, but the two, Dean and Magruder,
Magruder's been all over the place in this case.
Bob, I would have thought of why it might have been a good Bob.
Well, it wasn't. I'm sure it was not intentional, because when I asked him if anybody in the White House had been involved.
Now, you talked to him after you'd already talked to him.
That's correct. But he said he was telling me everything that I told you was
right.
He said that he could not in any way implicate Bob. That Strawn, yes. Dean, yes. But not Bob.
Strawn, how? By the
end of it. You see, Magruder's testimony is that he sent budgets to Strawn that showed that the thing was going to be done. And then he sent
Strawn denied
synopses. And Strong denies the budget and admits the synopsis. And, matter of fact, McGrew doesn't even go so far as to say he sent the synopsis. He just says, I told him that they were available. If you come see it. And, he steadfastly maintains through all of that that he has no evidence that Haldeman saw any of that stuff.
We'll know a little more, and after we are talking to the attorney, how much the problem is. To me, that we're at a situation, where that is just going to be too difficult to deal.
Yes.
Don't let me reach it. I mean, I don't understand. I won't reach it until I'm not going to reach it with anybody else.
I'm trying to reason this out from the standpoint of your well-being.
Exactly.
And it seems to me I have to go back to my Siamese twin analogy. You cut those Siamese twins apart and somebody dies.
Right.
And
both die.
Maybe. You are so terribly close in the perception of the press.
Yeah.
The perception of the...
Yeah, I agree with that, but you also have this situation. So you can keep it and all that comes out.
Well,
I mean, in other words, I couldn't agree more. I believe in fighting like hell so far trying to keep...
No, it isn't really a question of demonstrating loyalty or anything of that.
No. I believe in trying to keep him, but can't be done.
Yeah, well, I think we have to analyze this. I think if you kept him, you would have to go out and say, I carefully reviewed the evidence which the U.S. Attorney and the Assistant Attorney General have brought me on this subject. Comes to so-and-so. And the way, on the one hand, is the validity and seriousness of the charge versus the value to me of the individual.
Yep.
And the integrity of the office. There's an overriding consideration. In maybe you do this either way, whether he stays or goes.
Sure.
And you say, weighing this, I've come to the conclusion that while it is not clear-cut either way,
right.
I must do so and so.
Right.
But I think you have to make a public explanation either way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Public explanation if you leave. And be the other but you make a public explanation for spending and so you want to hear the facts and that's all there is to
it. You know Whiter well.
Yeah. Let me say, in that case, doing it that way, every intention, I mean, I wish to do it that way, but doing it that way, we say all of these things, kind of the whole fact.
Yeah.
Or I could say, I've asked for a week, or maybe get all of them wrong.
Either that, or a statement, or a synopsis, or something. I don't know how you do that.
Hear the facts, and people will.
People may disagree with it. It's a judgment call. But this is the way I have to call it. Don't for that, or whatever it is. If you don't do it that way, then all sorts of ugly inferences arise. Either way, if you keep him, ugly inferences arise that you're covering up. If you let go, then the inferences arise that you're disloyal, or that he's venal, or one of the venal, and that sort of thing. And you've got to clear the air.
Seems to make sure that both is
and the job yours is.
Just want to get my.
Not too early for you. You won't be back yet, early, will you?
Well, he's
sharp. He's very lively, very sharp.
You came about the options on things like resignations.
Yes, yes, indeed, we sure have. And
oh, good one.
They're very preliminary, but they both, trying to look at it from your standpoint, felt that Bob leaving would hurt you more than help you.
What's the reason?
On the fact pattern. In other words, that it would look like you were overreacting, number one. That the facts known were not sufficient to justify it, so there must be other facts hidden up that you're not expressing.
All right, see.
And that
in your case, double so.
That would be the part of extension. That's a very tentative conclusion.
That's before they go down.
That's it. So you shouldn't rest much weight on that.
Second point is, but I don't know, I'm glad to hear that. type of funding that he's in good. For Dr. Kravitz. All right, now let's come down to the hard place. Who's that? What do they say in the event there's an indictment, that your name is cold, an unindicted code is fair?
Well, first, that's got them on their ear. They just don't even understand what that is. This is something that they can't understand. It's one of the reasons they went down there, is to find out what that's all about.
Right.
Because they say that's just not proper procedure. And, of course, they're also just on their ear about the fact that the reporter's notes got out. And they say that that is Glanzer. That's a typical prosecutor's trick, to give Anderson those reporter's notes on Strong's interrogation.
I told Peterson today, I said, that came right out of the U.S. Attorney's office. I said, don't give me that stuff to report that. You changed the reporter.
Well, Wilson said, listen, I've been around this town for 35 years, and he said, I've been practicing law here. He says, that's the U.S. Attorney. That's the only place I can.
It's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
What does it do, John? You're
going to take them. It's proceeding, but of course, what it really does, it just cuts the hell out of all of them. It's a vicious cut. And it's Glanzer softening him up.
Because
they're going to check. They don't know. It'd be very hard to prove, unfortunately. But,
well, the fact that they came out of part, we get it.
Sure.
I think it's the grand jury. I'm not sure there's something that you guys have.
There's some story moving on the wire about somebody taking 8 boxes of political papers out of the White House the day after the burglary. Yeah. Some lawyer has gone down and court for an order absolving him and his client of contempt by reason of their taking 8 boxes of materials out of the White House on the 18th of June and holding them until just before the election and then returning them to the committee for the re-election. That they secreted them during that period of time. No idea. No idea at all. No.
The Postal
Office. I assume so, but I have the foggy stuff. He's coming over to see me. Well, he's over there now.
The Postal
Office. Yeah. And I'll find out.
But the material is still
in the custody of the committee of real life. I don't know what the significance of it is, except somebody had some guilty knowledge and back the truck in your car.
And the lawyer, the individual who did it,
and his lawyer,
was charged with it.
No, have petitioned the court for absolution to keep their skirts clean by coming forward and making a clean breast of things, I guess. It's all very muddy and obscure to me, but.
Sure. I'm sure it went.
Yeah.
You still think I should go to court?
Well, I don't think it's much point in you sitting here. You can always come back, you know. If you sit here, this thing's just getting dragged away, I guess, something like that, every 20 minutes. And if you didn't hear that, why, it wouldn't make any difference, and you'd be a lot better off for it. So, I think...
Another matter, John.
I think you're just better off down there. Everybody keep you informed and
I hope not.
Well, I mean, you know, if some big deal comes up, Ron will follow this very closely. And he'll interrupt you if it's something that comes up that has to have your attention.
8 boxes of
political material, whatever that is.
Went over to the committee to realize.
Eventually. But it stayed hidden for months. Apparently. And had his name in the paper for a while, so he reported that he was safer than Trump and Nancy this morning. Like a movie star.
I'm going to be out for that, but I ain't going to say, well, how are you doing? Good. That's good. Well, we go to court 20, 12, 30 miles. All right.
I probably better get Coulson before he has to leave.
Where is he?
He's at my office.
You don't mind? I'll see him.
Sorry, sorry.
Tell him what in the name of God that he...
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Or I'll be here.
Since he's, tell me what it is, I'll step out.
All right.
Good, okay.